It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio. Bill, we've got a lot to do, so let's get right to business. You are stocked with news again, local news here in our Hendersonville Lightning. And let's start with something that we've carried in our radio news, thanks to the Lightning. And it's on the front page here in your headline. Laurel Park Town Council okays 129 senior apartment on U.S. 64. Talk to us, Bill.
Well, it's something we've seen. We've seen quite a bit in the recent past where it was a familiar scene, as I think you said in the news report, a familiar scene of a room full of people, passionately, strongly opposed to a higher density development on a busy road that they said doesn't have the capacity to accommodate a new development like that. But in this case, this Laurel Park Town Council held strong. They'd been negotiating with the with this developer on this piece of property. Wasn't the first time a similar, or actually just about this same project, had been proposed for exactly this piece of property. You might recall in 2017, almost 3 years ago now, the Hendersonville City Council turned down this development of 130 senior housing units. And
same company, same development, basically?
Same acres, same 7.8 acre,
okay.
7.8 acre track, same developer, same development. But the Laurel Park Town Council said, developer came to us, asked us would we be interested, volunteered to be annexed. It is a satellite annexation, but it meets the requirements. Laurel Park had its town attorney, Sharon Alexander, there, who let them know that it did meet all 5 points, which it had to under state law for such a satellite annexation. So they would get Hendersonville water, they would get Hendersonville sewer, but it would be a Laurel, it would be in the town of Laurel Park. Would be small apartments for elderly. The tenants tend to be women around in their 70s and 80s, often widows. And it will have a dining room and really not much else. It's not an assisted living facility. It doesn't have any sort of medical center attached or associated with it, although there are lots of those nearby. And, of course, it's close to the hospital. So that was approved unanimously in a 4-0 vote. Laurel Park is missing one town council member right now. They're doing interviews early next month to fill that vacancy since Bob Vickery moved to the upstate of South Carolina.
Right.
But that moves ahead now. It is not the final. There were actually three different actions to annex the property, to change the land use plan, the overall land use plan, because it was zoned city. It was zoned in the city of Hendersonville before this. So they had to take it in, apply Laurel Park land use designation, general land use designation for it, and then a specific zoning, which is, I think, called multicultural institutional, medical institutional and one other thing, cultural, I think it is. But there's one more step, which is a more detailed kind of a master plan approval for a conditional zoning. And the Laurel Park Planning Board and then the Laurel Park Town Council will be able to put very specific conditions on that. So neighbors are not likely to be satisfied with that, not likely to be happy about that, but there are conditions that would control things like lighting and noise and buffers and traffic and driveway access that the town can require.
So Laurel Park, of course, they're looking at the taxes that they would get for the tax benefits they would get for this type of property. But one of the other things I noted in your in your story is that someone from the council had mentioned that lots of people put in a lot of hours talking about the future of Laurel Park and what is wanted through some sort of a comprehensive land use plan or something, and that apparently a property like this fits right into what they were talking about as far as the future of Laurel Park.
Well, that's right, and that came a couple council members said that. I think Councilman Paul Hansen said it for sure, and Mayor Kerry O'Kane, in response to this idea that this was a smoke-filled backroom kind of deal with the developer, and no one ever knew that this property could be that's surrounded on three sides by residential. There are lots of houses around it. As if this just came out of nowhere, and because a developer flew in from Bend, Oregon, they'd say, oh, sure, we'll do whatever you want. No, they've been working for 2.5-3 years, started around 5 years ago, according to Paul Hansen, on a comprehensive rewrite of their comp plan. And that involved a very close look, in particular, at this gateway, which, by the way, includes the whole widening—not adding lanes, but widening and roundabout project
right.
on U.S. 64.
Right.
This is all they said to the audience there. This is all part of that, and this very definitely was a part of a transition zone that they knew was going to go commercial one way or the other. Could have gone commercial in some other way besides this, even though Hendersonville turned down this development. Could have gone commercial anything from a convenience store to the former owner of the property, Gary Jones pointed out. Ingalls was looking at it at one time. Uh-huh. So it could have gone commercial in a much more intensive kind of way, either through the city of Hendersonville or if the city of Hendersonville withdrew. It's in unincorporated Henderson County. I should have mentioned that. And between Hendersonville and Laurel Park, and if Hendersonville were to withdraw its zoning authority, then it would be unincorporated Henderson County, and someone could go to the Henderson County Board of Commissioners and say, we want to put a convenience store car wash there. We want to put an Ingalls there. So
yeah.
They said, and they said over and over, all council members said, growth is going to happen. This is a pretty compatible use in our view and according to the comp plan, and probably less objectionable than some things that could go on
right.
that piece of property.
Right. Hmm. I was going to suggest or say also that this is not the first time Laurel Park Council has dealt with this type of thing. Of course, talking about 191 and or talking about the road, Highway 64, and the roundabouts and so forth. So
it is not, and that was brought up that you didn't listen to a room full of people around Hunter's Crossing area that opposed the Arcadia Views development on 64 west of Laurel Park. But there again, they said it's off the road. It would have one driveway. Maybe it's two driveways, but we think the traffic, we think the road can handle it out there. And they voted in favor of that project as well. So there was a lot of passion. There was a fair amount of hostility.
Mm.
But it came to an end, and they got through it, and they voted, as I say, three times unanimously for the three different actions right now that would allow it.
Interesting. Let's stay on construction, or let's stay on moving forward, or what someone might think would be moving forward. Easement, not easy. Talk to us about this, Bill. What's this story about?
Easement is not easy. Yeah, we're staying on development.
We're
staying on neighborhood anxiety. It's not truly a NIMBY, not in my backyard kind of situation. It's just that in this case, the residents of Hood Heights, and Hood Heights is a road, little neighborhood, most people would never notice. I lived pretty near it, and I never even knew it was there. It's a itty bitty. It's a short dead end road with 9 homes on it. And suddenly, a few weeks ago, homeowners in Hood Heights noticed the surveyors all around taking the measurements of their land and maybe making road markings on their pretty newly repaved private road that they all paid, pitched in to total up $17,000 to pave it. So suddenly, they're, what's going on here? come to find out that the developer thought it was a public road and thought it was public right of way, and they could be out there to survey, and they realized it wasn't, and it pretty soon became an uproar, and the city got involved, because what this is all about is a developer from the upstate of South Carolina who is in negotiations and sounds as if it's pretty close to reaching a deal to consummate the purchase of the Halfway Tree Mobile Home Park. And you say, what is Halfway Tree Mobile Home Park? And you'll remember that is the mobile home park with 113 units. Again, we're talking unincorporated Henderson County,
right,
in this case, between the village of Flat Rock and Hendersonville, but not in either, that has failing septic tank system. So all parties, which is the village, Henderson County, City of Hendersonville, and certainly the owner-to-be are very interested, and the state of North Carolina, in getting this fixed, getting rid of septic tanks and getting on the public sewer.
Right.
That's what this is all about. It's a complicated project. The easement is not easy, in part because you have to dig. When you're trying to run a gravity sewer line, of course, it has to run at a little bit of an angle from the property down to the sewer line on Irkwood, and that works. But that means if there is a hump in the topography, excuse me, as there is in this case, it's a deep trench. And if you're going to have to dig a 22-foot deep trench in order to run that gravity line, that's a big excavation.
Yeah.
It's going to look like a big deal because it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And so they explain how they... The contract. The city explained how they, the contractor, it's called AM Partners, it would be the owner, there'll be a different contractor. We'll have to put everything back. We'll have to put your road back. We'll probably just have to repave your whole road when it's all said and done, and replant your grass and replant your bushes and put up your fence and anything like that that gets disturbed. So they were somewhat satisfied. They finally, they're on septic tanks as well in Hood Heights, and many of them said, this could be good for us if y'all would run the lateral from the sewer pipe all the way to our house.
Yeah.
That's really, I wouldn't say in negotiations, because the developer said, no, that's a bridge too far. That's a sewer line, sewer pipe too far. We probably won't run it all the way to your house, but we'll leave you a stub out where you can if you want to. So this is a little bit of it's still in the works. I just heard that there could be an alternative path that they could look at, but we'll continue to pursue that and see if we can find. We'll of course pursue this to the end, to the closing, to the new sewer line, however long that might take.
All right, more development news coming up. We're going to talk about the fire station number one. That's causing a little bit of a stir. We'll talk about that coming up. You're listening to Lightning Thursdays here on the Cube.
Attention drivers 50 and over. The AARP auto insurance program from the Hartford is now available through the Williams Company at 1008 Asheville Highway in Hendersonville. Call the Williams Company at 693-1126. That's 693-1126.
Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village announces the winter sale. All fall and winter merchandise is now reduced up to 50%. You'll save on sport coats in worsted wool and wool blends. Select coordinating slacks, shirts, silk ties, and bow ties, all on sale. Choose merino wool sweaters in vests, mocks, v-necks, and crew necks. Save on all long-sleeve, wrinkle-free sports shirts and fleece pullovers. Hurry in today and save up to 50% during the winter sale at Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village.
Welcome to Wag Pet Boutique. Oh, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Caroline. Guess what? I just adopted a dog from Blue Ridge Humane Society.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
So, look, I need a leash and a dog bowl and a pet bed and some treats.
Well, hold on. Every dog is an individual, so let's just pick out a couple of things now. And as you get to know your new best friend, we'll help you pick out exactly what your dog needs.
That's great advice. I'm so glad I came to Wag first.
Well, we're always happy to see you, Brian. Tell your friends to come visit us at Wag Pet Boutique on Main Street in historic downtown Hendersonville.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years, the official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com. We'll be right back.
And we're back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The new Lightning is on the streets and in your mailboxes today, and it's on the radio. Bill, we've talked a lot recently about fire department, the city. Lots of changes, lots of additions, lots of growth coming. And part of that is a complete redesign and rebuild of Fire Station 1, which is right there in that triangle property near Hendersonville High School, right across from Hendersonville High School, where the putt-putt course is and the tennis courts are, or were, in this potential case.
Correct. Well, yeah, and I would adjust a little bit. It's really not redesign and renovate. That was an option. This is bulldoze and start over.
Okay, I sit corrected.
I mean, look on page 6 at this. It's not even a rendering. It's a diagram of the footprint of the building, and you'll see there it takes the entire triangle from where Main intersects, merges into Church there at Five Points. Basically, let's say from Five Points to 8th Avenue on the other side, that's known as Bearcat Boulevard.
Yeah.
And you see where that is. It's basically on most of the miniature golf, the mini golf, the putt-putt, the Laura Corn putt-putt course, and the parking lot would cover the tennis courts. And that was the decision week before last, I think it was, by the Hendersonville City Council after a great deal of study. It didn't just come up before the City Council. They had these consultants, of course, and these engineers that know all about structure and renovation costs and heat and air systems, training requirements, office needs, and so forth, plus architects who gave them these options. I'm not sure that they strongly recommend the new over the renovation, but there wasn't hardly any difference in the cost because renovation was renovating just about everything. And they said, oh, forget it. We didn't. And they acknowledged that they probably only, what, 5 or so years ago when they built Fire Station 2 out on Sugarloaf, which is a nice new fire station, that they didn't predict as well as they could. They didn't plan as well as they could how much the administrative office space side of this that now they're saying, which is over there in Fire Station 2. I didn't realize that's where the chief's office is and some other administration. But that space has been encroached by other firefighter or training needs and so forth. So now they're back to the Fire Station 1 property in downtown Hendersonville. The acting chief, James Miller, said, you know, we'd really like to it's all separated now. The fire marshal, I think, is downtown. Other administration is out on Sugarloaf. And we'd all like to be downtown, close to City Hall, together, and make this a place that the public can come if they want to talk about fire inspections or whatever they need to talk to us firefighters about. So we'd be good with the new fire station. So that's what it looks like right now, about $7.5 million, and we're just at the very beginning. They're not even at the – I mean, they have some rough square footage requirements and the firefighter – the firefighter quarters and the training, I think that's two stories. And then the north-facing part would be administrative offices. And the fire bays, I think there's either 3 or 4 fire bays, would be in the middle where it looks like they could go out in either direction, Main Street to go north or go out Church Street to go south.
So let me ask this. You mentioned that between redesigning or the building that we already have versus tearing that down and building a brand new one, the cost is not that much different. However, in choosing this option, the putt-putt course is gone, the brand new tennis court, the tennis court, I don't even see brand new, but all that has been redone recently. But it takes away those those assets.
Oh, that's a biggie. That's bigger than anything.
That's huge. That's
Yeah, people have been scratching their head or rending their clothing or otherwise expressing anxiety about the idea of the famous Hendersonville $3 a game, mind you.
Right.
I don't know what it is in Myrtle Beach, but it ain't $3 a game. I don't think.
No, it's not.
I haven't had little kids in a while, so I don't know the putt-putt prices anymore. But I bet it's not $3 a game in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or Gatlinburg, or any place else. But it is in Hendersonville. But they will save the Laura E. Korn Mini Golf Park. Make that a headline. The council member Jeff Miller shouted at the Lightning and Times News reporters at the meeting, we will relocate putt-putt. And then Jerry Smith raises his hand and says, and tennis too. There's the two tennis courts recently resurfaced and so forth. So that doesn't seem like great planning necessarily, having spent that money. And I think there's even been some renovation of the putt-putt course in recent
Yes, absolutely. That all took place at the same—
So I went and looked at it and hadn't looked at it in a while and was making pictures of it. And there's a lot to that. I mean, there's some kind of figure, bear or animal or scene like Chimney Rock or some familiar building or structure or natural asset of our area on every hole, on 18 holes. And they plan they plan to move the putt-putt course to ... We don't know where yet. Patton Park is it's a kind of obvious option. There's other smaller park areas around town that are city owned that they could look at. So we'll see about that part.
I certainly understand change. I certainly understand having to deal with change, but moving that putt-putt course, I will say, I can't imagine it would ever be the same. I just can't imagine because of the location where it is and all that.
I know.
But it is what it is.
It does, yeah. I can't see how it would be. Maybe it can be on top of the parking deck. I don't see how it'll still be downtown. It's kind of neat that it's right downtown.
Exactly.
And I agree that the culture of it, the sensibility of it, the feel of it, it seems like it would be different if it's at Patton Park.
Yeah.
Although I can see, you know, I can see some other options there if you added, you know, if that's right next to a new playground or something. You can kind of see, look at this new kids area we made. So we'll see. One other point I want to make about this, going back to the large and growing capital cost, whether you talk about the police station, the parking deck, and a new fire station one, people might recall, well, what about the new fire station three? Which is not even a cleared piece of ground at this point, I'm talking about
Spartan
property
Power.
That the city bought at the corner of Shepherd Street and Old Spartanburg Highway,
right
up the road here. That is off the table for now. It's not gone. It's not dead because the city did buy that property. There is growth in the south part of the city. They do have the problem with flooding, and they can't get to the south part of the city in certain occasions, certain weather events. But that proposed fire station three at a cost of $4.9 million to $5.4 million is... That's tabled for now. It's safe to say that's tabled for now. Mm. If we're going to do this, they said, start over and build from the ground up in Fire Station 1, then Fire Station 3 will just have to wait.
So if they go to the fire department and say, what's the first priority, Fire Station 3 or redoing Fire Station 1, I guess Fire Station 1 wins.
It's already won, yeah.
Okay.
We can't always say that something is almost a lead pipe cinch, but this is as close as you can get to a lead pipe cinch at this point, that this is the decision, not Fire Station 3.
Okay. All right. Let's talk. Let's continue talking development. There's an MPO meeting today about the Highland Lake Road Improvement Project, and you've got the story right here on page 7. Commissioners say to MPO, don't kill the road project.
Well, yeah, they did. The county commissioners voted unanimously last Wednesday morning to uphold their previous endorsement just 2 days after the Transportation Advisory Committee in an 8-1 vote with only Ann Coletta, the Village of Council member, and now TAC liaison and member, with only Ann Coletta voting yes on her motion to basically to ratify, to uphold the Flat Rock Village Council resolution to ask the NCDOT to kill the project. TOC said, no, we think we'll stick with it. Board of County Commissioners said, no, we think we'll stick with it. It was a good discussion by Board of Commissioners. In this case, there was not public comment.
Right.
And really, in this case, I'm not going to say this is the end of it by any means, but it does go today to the, I'm not going to say the one either, but to the next board, and of all these, the board that has more authority, everything that's been done up to now is really, you'd have to put more in the bucket of advisory in nature than what's going to happen today, either way, before the French Broad MPO. And that is, because that's a vote from a body that is the official,
right,
under federal and state law, the official organization, governing body of elected officials from all over the MPO area to say, okay, what are your road priority projects? Which ones do you want to fund? And this is way down the pipeline in terms of being prioritized and being funded. It's completely designed. It's 70% or more even right-of-way acquired. But what is your position once again? And so that comes up today, and we'll find out.
So
we have one other story on HendersonvilleLightning.com saying that Brian Birch, who's the top NCDOT engineer for Division 14 in southwestern North Carolina, including Henderson County, said if this project is not killed, if it were to go forward, we have bought all but five parcels, and we are negotiating for those five. And he very accurately, I'm sure, said we don't expect to reach a negotiated settlement on all of those. And why would you say that, or why would he have reason to know that? Well, because the Village Council had just voted 1 week before to say we are not going to willingly sell any property to the NCDOT for the Highland Lake Road project. So we know that's not going to be a negotiated settlement, even though there's an offer on the table to buy around a half acre for $110,000. The council said that's no longer operative. We're not we're against the project, obviously, so we don't want to sell land for the project. But anyway, the project, I think we might have mentioned this last week, it could go forward if that is in basically litigation.
Right.
It's happened before. Of the plaintiff, the state of North Carolina versus defendant, the Village of Flat Rock, saying we need this part of the road for the project. And, okay, well, a judge or a judge and jury will tell us the price. Years from now, probably.
So it goes to the MPO, and the MPO is facing the fact that the TAC voted 8-1 to continue.
It did.
County commissioners all voted.
Five to zero.
City council, unanimous.
Four-zero in that
case. So it was unanimous. And then you go all the way back down to Flat Rock, and that was not unanimous against. That was a 3-2 vote, right?
It was a 3-2 vote, but
so,
I mean, I stand with the authority on a split vote or unanimous vote.
It's still a vote.
I mean, I stand with the authority of the Village Council to have formally adopted that resolution.
Sure.
We've said, I think in the institutional voice of the Lightning, we've talked about to the victors go the spoils. And in their view, the spoils in this case is this effort, and in this is this follow through of what they, I think, very correctly point out was the driving issue of that election.
Yeah.
So I don't think that I don't say anything against. I never say anything against the council vote. What I say is whether, as some TAC members said, and some county commissioners have said, and we'll see today, perhaps some MPO members will say, is whether that by itself can kill a project. I think that's the question.
That's the question.
That's on the table very directly 3.5 hours from now.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. So we'll be keeping an eye on the Hendersonville Lightning website today, of course. So let me ask you this, Bill. Let's get out of the paper for just one moment. We've got another story to hit. But as far as this Flat Rock, as far as this Highland Lake Road project is concerned, you're out in the community talking to people from all over the community. People outside of Flat Rock, how are they looking at this? Are they saying, what's the big deal? What's the big fight over? Or are they saying, hey, this is a this is a rubber meets the road. Where are we going from here? You know what I'm asking?
I do. And I think I think people, Grady Hawkins made the point that there were, what was it, 5,000 or so registered vehicles in Flat Rock, but then he went on to check. But there's 113,000 in all of Henderson County, and they drive on that road. But they actually don't all drive on that road. There's many, many people. If you're in Bedneyville, even if you're in Hendersonville, you're in Laurel Park, you're out in Etowah, there might not be much reason, probably not much reason, for you to drive on Highland Lake Road, certainly after the detour is gone. Not much reason at all. So what? That's a long way of saying, when I hear about it, it is like, it's sort of like, what are they thinking? And not just the village of Flat Rock, but it's, you know, the Balfour Parkway, and it's Canoga, it's the Laurel Park roundabout. These are people that, you know, they know we've editorialized, like you know, we're going to need some capacity. We're going to need some roads. We have growth. Growth is not going to stop, as we were talking a while ago. They know that we've editorialized that way, and they've said, you know, what are they thinking? What are they going to approve, and what kind of increased capacity? We're not going to have any increased capacity. We'll have no road projects, and then, by the way, NCDOT will never come knocking on our door to offer us any road money again if this keeps on this way.
Yeah.
So that's generally, although I do hear, and this is much more from Village of Flat Rock people, they say, I just see no reason why it's needed. There's other things they can spend the money on. They can do spot improvements where there is a problem turning onto the road, where there is a – they don't usually say a left turn lane because that people think that's too disruptive. But they say – or they say let Hendersonville fix Hendersonville problems in the part of the road that's not in the village.
Hmm. Interesting. Let's touch on one more story before we leave, and that is let's go to Tuxedo now. Let's go to Tuxedo. Tuxedo's getting a Dollar General. What's the consensus there, Bill?
Broke the story about sometime last week, I think, that that Tuxedo is getting a retail chain.
How about that?
A Dollar General right there across from Tuxedo Community Park. We brought forth in that story, pointed out that it was just 5 years ago, I think, that the same owners of the Dollar General store on NC-191 at Mountain Road had proposed a Dollar General there. And Dollar General, for some reason, certainly they knew Dollar General knew they were going to do this, but they said anyway that Dollar General looked at it and said, oh, no, not enough traffic. Part of the reason might be that the county commissioner, Tommy Thompson, who was on the county commission at the time, was one of the owners of the proposer of the development. And that got a little bit of heat to it. It got withdrawn. But then suddenly, this did not require rezoning. That's why it snuck up on me.
Uh-huh.
I rode by it on a Sunday night about 5 o'clock and saw that crews were still out there. It was up out of the ground. The whole metal building was up out of the ground. Crews were out there working. I said, man, that's going on fast, going up fast. What is that? And I asked some ladies in the park what it was, and they told me, well, that's our new Dollar General. So read the Hendersonville Lightning or go to Hendersonville Lightning on Facebook, and you can read some fun comments. Well, I think comments are under the story, and they're also on Facebook.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Somebody says, oh, we love it. We call it Tuxedo's Walmart. And then others are saying, ugh, or, oh, no. So it's gotten all kinds of reactions.
I'm sure.
People were worried about Roscoe. Roscoe's is kind of Tuxedo's store. It's kind of Tuxedo's general store and gas station. A really nice family that's had it. It was a great community story when Roscoe's burned down without insurance.
Right.
Community pitched in. The family pitched in. They rebuilt. They rebuilt the new Roscoe's. Roscoe's could sell beer and wine. They've always refused to. I don't think Dollar General sell beer and wine, so that's not. But people have a really place in their heart for Roscoe's, so they worry about Roscoe's. Now you'll have Dollar General, and Dollar General has lots of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, there's so much more in this week's Lightning. We've really just touched on it. Where can people pick up their copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
By going all around town to any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks or visiting the Lightning partners such as convenience stores and coffee shops and Publix and other supermarkets, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on the red tab that says Lightning, and you can join you can get an all-access deal there where you get HendersonvilleLightning.com, which is the website. And, oh, by the way, if you want to get the Lightning in your home, you can sign up and get the print version, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best kept retirement secret.